Very good. So we were in the fifth chapter. Last week we got up to the seventh verse. Let's chant it again today here.
Yoga yukto vishuddhatma vijitatma jitendriyah sarva bhutatma bhutatma kurvannapi nalipyate.
So here, as we talked last time, it's discussing both the sadhana, both karma yogi and jnana yogi will do. So yoga yuktaha, one has to find a balance. As you know, we want to be spiritual seekers, but we can't ignore the material aspect as well. So even if you were to leave everything, live in seclusion still, you need to eat. There are some rare that don't do anything and they just rely on the God. And there was one Mahatma in Rishikesh who even is no more, but he wouldn't even eat. Only if somebody would feed him. Those are the rare cases. But even that one, something he'd have to do, he'd go into the Ganga, wash the body. So in other words, material things we have to take care of. So we need to strike a balance between the two. If it's just materialistic, then if I have some deeper yearning like this, then I won't be satisfied. But then, just spiritual I can't do. And actually the whole progression in life is slowly I can shift the whole idea. First I study, that's the whole first part of the life, brahmacharya ashrama, study, prepare for life, what's needed. And of course if I learn both the religious or spiritual aspect, preparation part, as well as the everything needed, the science and how to deal with the world, then goes hand in hand, it's very useful. Then one goes through life, one is participating in society, in grihastha ashrama, and there, of course, there is where you work on striking the balance, because you can have family, you can have job, you have things to do, so those are there, and you have to have time for both. Find the balance like this. Then as I go through that, if I use that time, not just for the materialistic pursuit, spiritual pursuit as well, then slowly, when the time comes, some decades later, when the nest is empty, when I have more time, when I retire, then my interest will be in this. It'll be much easier to shift my attention to the spiritual, vanaprastham. So that's how traditional life is built like this, the Vedic vision of it. So then one goes through life and we can't ignore, okay, I have many desires to do things, if I just stifle them, it's not going to work. But then if I am going through life and I try to do it first of all, of course, you know, in a righteous way and everything, not disturbing anybody. And then slowly, as I analyze and look into, I try to live my life more as karma yoga. And I see, I can say in theory, okay, anything I get, it comes and goes, what good is it? I can say that in theory, but I have to see in practice on myself. Because just saying it is just, as we said last time, the parrot can say this very nicely. You can train the parrot to say some very good things, but the parrot has no idea what it's saying. So something I have to see for myself, the Shastra is teaching this and saying you have to look into this yourself. You can't stifle things. Slowly see. You slowly grow and see. Just like somebody went to college and heard some theorem in whatever subject it is. We always take E equals MC squared because that's the best known one. But it can be in any topic, some theorem. You know some idea about, but you study, you'll get a better idea about it. So then when the time comes, I can really look into it more like this. And then, of course, this natural progression, they say, then, okay, sannyasa, okay, then, when it's totally clear, then, whether it's a formal renunciation or not, you know, okay, as good as everything is good as dropped, because the understanding that there isn't anything really to pursue, that the world is just a appearance like this, but then one is mature and ready for that. So this is yoga yuktaha, having the finding this balance, very important, like this. There are people who go too much in one way or too much in the other. And then we have to find the balance, as we said, like this. And then slowly, as we go forwards, we can look into it more, look into these things deeper, like this. And vijitātmā, or viśuddhātmā. Here, ātmā, viśuddhātmā, purifying the mind. The mind has to be purified constantly. We wash the body, we have to wash the mind as well. We see what things are creeping up in the mind and seeing, oh, I see this tendency starting, this, I'm becoming more lazy or something. Okay, I have to take care of it, right? Make sure it doesn't. Oh, I'm getting angry a little bit more. Anger is coming up. Okay, why is it happening? Take care. Like this, analyze and see. Keep the mind pure and clean and in specific things and in general. You know, in general, learning how to keep the mind engaged in something higher. And then vijitātmā jitendriyaha. Here, ātmā is the body, physical body. Like this. Because ātmā can have many meanings. It depends on the context. And there's a very interesting thing that the language in general, not just Sanskrit here, language is more contextual than dictionary. This whole theory about this. And years ago, before AI had gotten so big like this, when I went to a conference, then there, somebody had put together, this group put together a program that would parse the language by getting a large data set. So they would take a large data set and parse, and from that they could, you know, make out the meaning. And to prove their concept, they took two languages that they didn't even know after they did the whole thing. And they just needed a good amount of literature. So when I was in Uttarkashi once, and I was reading in some text, and I wasn't sure what this word meant, I went and asked my Premanandaji, and he looked at the context and pulled it out from there, not from the dictionary meaning, because dictionary meaning didn't make sense when I looked at it. So that's interesting. So that aside then here, vijitātmā, or ātmā is the body, conquered body and senses, that they're not the bosses, meaning I take care of them. The instrument, the car isn't the boss, you're the boss. If you drive recklessly, the car, there's no problem, they leave it there, but you're the one that they're going to give the ticket to or take away your license. Not, the car's not going to be. So here also, the body and senses, they're my instruments, but what happens is they become the master. The, you know, eyes want to see something, ears want to hear, I run after that instead of what is, you know, what is really needed by it. Is it useful in this way? So this is, they're conquered not through fighting, but through understanding, like this. So there's somebody in Europe that that tames horses, Swami Ram Surupanandaji, I know I've met, and this person doesn't use the stick or any of these things. The horse whisperer, they made stories about this, somebody like this, just by talking quietly to the horse and this, like this. And the horse becomes their friend or however it is. So force doesn't do with these things, but understanding. If I understand something is useful, I understand not useful, I really understand that, then that's how it's going to be. That's all. Yoga asanas like this also for the body. It's used, but never forceful, right? Not a forceful thing. So in this way. And then these are the sadhanas, right? For balance, for the mind. We have to have for the mind, for the body senses. And then, of course, sarva bhutatma bhutasta. This is the Vedanta. One sees the Atma is within me and behind all living beings. And the thing is, when somebody will say, no, each person is their own Atma. Interestingly, people say their own soul. So they say, what is soul? They say, what do you mean by soul then? Because if you say soul as that one which leaves here and goes to heaven and is reborn, it means then the subtle body. Because you die, subtle body is there, you go, come back in this way. The subtle body is, travels, as it were, like this. But if you want that which is eternal, then that is Atma, unchanging. So when this word soul, there isn't a direct translation into Sanskrit because it's something that is kept as a, at least as far as I know, as something that is kept a bit unclear what it is. So Here it's very clearly defined. Again, I'm not saying other mystic, there might be other mystic traditions in Christianity or whatever other religions that do point out, I don't know, but just from as far as I'm aware. So when we say, I say Atma, somebody will say there are many Atmas because there are many of us, many people. So to that person we'll say, okay, I'm sitting in my room here, right? You're sitting in one room, other place, he's in one room, other place, like this. There's space in my room, there's a space in your room, so there are many spaces, like this. You say, no, you don't understand, Gajanan. It's the wall, the space is one, you know. Just the walls are there, the enclosure makes it seem that it's separate. Say, no, there are many spaces in this way. And I'll say, well, very good, okay. But I have electricity in my house and my neighbor has theirs. Each one is a different electricity. They'll say, no, it's coming from the same source. So same way. Saying that there are many bodies, many minds, yes, there are many upadis. Saying there are many atmas then is a conclusion that is a conclusion without having looked into it in this way. How can you prove that there are many consciousnesses behind each one? So an interesting pointer to this is the fact that when you go to deep sleep, when you forget your body and mind, you don't feel limited, you don't feel separate, right? Meditation, some of the time when mind is quiet, you don't feel the manyness, the separation. So it shows when the upadi, just like here, if the upadi is taken away, the walls are taken down here, I won't see the difference in the space. It's very similar. So these are pointers that show, look, really that separation isn't there. The separation's just as far as body mind are concerned, not from the consciousness perspective. So here it's saying, well, then one here who sees this, that there's one Atma, the one consciousness behind every living being, this one, Kurvan api nalipyate, even though this person performs actions, they're not affected by it. Because of this viveka, and the viveka will continue the next verse like this, but they know that they're not really karta, they're not the doer. If the Atma was the doer, then the Atma would have to change, the Atma would have to be limited then. Right? It would have to have one side. Like, you know, you want to do some activity, the earth and different, and the other planets want to do some activity, the space says, I want to join you. How's it going to join? It says, okay, which side are you going to sit on? Are you going to sit on the Mercury and Venus side or on the Jupiter-Saturn side? Which side do you want to play on? They'll say, you can't join the game because you're on both sides, you're everywhere. It can't be on one side. So, it can't be just in one side like this. If you're on one side, you have to be separate, you have to be limited, you'll be affected by the action as well. But here, if Atma was like this, it's not like this, otherwise it would be something limited in this way. So the Atma cannot be affected by the action, cannot participate in the action either, just like the space is going to be left out of that game, the poor thing is going to be very sad, can't participate. So same way, the Atma can't participate. It seems to, we think it's participating, but that's because of the confusion. That's the whole reason for looking into this, whole reason for this Atma and Atma Viveka that's needed, because that's where the confusion is, that I think I am this body-mind, I am doing this, I am affected by in this way. This is the whole reason for the study. So this being said, that's what the next two verses, which we can read together, which they discuss like this. So let's look at number 8 here and 9 together.
Naiva kinchit karomi tihi yukto manyeta tatvavit pashyan shrinvan sprishan jikran Ashnan gacchan swapan shwasan pralapan visrijan grihnan unmishan nimishan napi indriyani indriyartheshu vartanta iti dharayan.
So even while seeing, hearing, touching, smelling, eating, moving, reclining, breathing, talking, evacuating, receiving, opening the eye and closing the eye, the disciplined knower of truth understands, I do not do anything at all, bearing in mind that the sense organs remain in sense objects. So here it illustrates that the one kurvan napina lipyate from previous verse there, the jnani, even though acting, even though doing activities, know that they're not doing activities, right? In the previous chapter, we had the karmanya karmaya pashyet. He who sees the action, that within action, really in activity, nothing is happening. So here, this is what the jnani's view of things, how the jnani sees the things. That even though all these activities are going on, really, I am not doing anything. This is the whole idea of doership. I'm karta, I'm bhokta, I'm doer, and enjoyer. These two, do not belong to atma. Again, if they belong to atma, atma would need to be separate, it would need to be limited, and also anything that does an activity gets affected by it. Because each action has an equal and opposite reaction. So yes, I do an action, body is affected, mind is affected, emotions, intellect also participated, so also it learns something or discerns something. All these are part of it. But if Atma were part of it, then Atma would also be something limited. So Atma would also be affected. If something is affected, then means it changes. And means slowly, slowly over time it will change. Like our friend the sun, which we see there every day, which is lighting everything up, is practically eternal for us. But the sun itself is thinking, how many billion years old? I don't recall. I don't recall last when I when I saw when the sun started, but a few billion years. It says I'm already reached my middle age, or I'm already in my 30s, right? What'll happen when I better start saving for my retirement. What'll happen when I die? I've been around for a few decades, sun-wise, right? Some decades. And then I already see my grandfather is gone. My time will come too, it'll happen to me. So the sun itself also will go like this. Because the sun is affected. It shines all the light, but there's effects going on there. So meaning it's going to be, for some time it'll be gone. So the Atma, what happens, anything that's part of an action means it's changing, means it gets affected, means slowly, slowly get eaten away. And then eventually it'll be gone. Eventually it'll change completely. Now, we'll say, yes, yes, that's how I am. That's how I am. We'll say, yes. Do you remember, what are your earliest childhood memories? Okay, I remember this or that. Is that still you, the same one? Yes. How do you know it's the same one? If everything changed, it wouldn't be the same one. If people do past life regression, right, they do. Maybe somebody remembers, but usually people do some hypnosis. They go to previous lives in this. It's still me, not a different one. Same one. How can it not change over time? So if something doesn't change, the only way for it not to change would be it's not affected by it. If it's part of it, it'll get changed. It cannot help but to be changed. That's impossible not to. Here, look, humans on the planet, how much, we use just a little energy for ourselves. And look what's happened to the whole, who would have imagined a century ago that we can be causing this global warming? Nobody would have imagined. Oh yeah, yeah, a little fire, a little smoke, what's the big deal? Look, like this. So anything that's done, that you do, affects. So our teacher here, he gives the example, he says that we have pollution in the air. You can pollute the air. but you can't pollute the space. People say, yeah, yeah, the satellites, too many satellites and debris up. It's not polluting the space. The space itself isn't touched by it. It's causing some other issues. Yes, it causes some issues, but for the space, it doesn't cause any problem. There's no pollution to space because it's untouched by all the things that are in it. They just come and go. Space doesn't mind what you put it in, what you take out. Of course, absolute space, somebody will start saying, yes, yes, but you know that the space is also relative, and that's correct because it's manifest. But we take as just the illustration like this. So in this way, one would know that this is how the jnani sees. Because knowing that I'm not limited, sarva bhutatma bhut, how's it? Sarva bhutatma bhutat bhutasta. Sorry, that was a bit of a tongue twister in there. The previous one. Because it's stapled together like this, we haven't gotten the booklets yet. Sarva bhutatma bhutatma. Sarva bhuta knows. My Atma is the one who is, the person, one who knows that their Atma is the same as the Atma in all beings. That's what that means. So it's this person. Now, of course, we say this one will be doing activity too. The Mahatma will be doing activities too like this, right? Won't necessarily just be sitting there doing nothing. So what will motivate them? Well, the thing is, my motivation will be a mixture of what I like to do and want to do and what is right to do or good to do or helpful. So for somebody like this, it won't be for their self-interest because there's nothing to achieve. The Mahatma doesn't want to become something or to get something or to prove something because that all has to do with identity with the ego like this. So there isn't any of that. This is called Krita Kritya. Krita Kritya, one who has performed everything they need to perform. Nothing, there's no need to do anything else. So what will they do? Just what's helpful. What's helpful for? What best they can do to help others around. Because actually the Mahatma sees how everybody else is suffering, and suffering because of unclarity. But they don't see clearly. So what will they do? They'll serve however they can. Like this. That's all they can do. Just now when I was in Uttarkashi, so when I was saying Premaranji in the office, so I was there like 45 minutes. In that time, how many people had come in to see and talk and ask this or that? And I've been there many years. So there'll always be a stream of people of all kinds for all... Any kind of problem you want, they'll come to him for on any level of problem, like this. So, and he was saying, most important, you continue your spiritual practice, don't get caught up in many things and all. So I also said, well, Swamiji, look how active you are. You're saying not to get caught up in things, not to do so many things. He said, I don't have a choice, I don't have a choice. They come to me, they need me, so I don't have a choice here. So in this way, it was exactly this. He's doing so much there, but he's content. He's always loving, or content, this, everything. You know, he'll scold some of the people, this, that, in the ashram because needed for getting things done or because they're too lazy or confused, so it's good for them. But he doesn't have any personal agenda. And that doesn't happen most of the time. He's just joyful, happy in this. And he has lived when he was younger, just lived on his own quietly, without anything, maunan, without anybody around for so long. He says, oh, that was the best time in his life. So he doesn't need anything. So a very good example seeing there like this. So he does, but not because of his agenda, what he needs or wants, whatever can be done like this. Some things work well, some not also. But it doesn't get caught, somebody like that will not be getting caught up in it. You with whatever you have, you do your best, and that's what you can do. So this is what happens with the Mahatma like this. And what happens, again, I can bring him as a good example as well. What happens is then the Mahatma, how will this manifest then? I see it, those who are close to me, I have a mixture of I love them and also of attachment expectation. because the ego is still there in my ideas about. But when the ego is lifted, then that attachment expectation won't be there. So in this way, it'll manifest more as love. The Mahatma, we feel love around. When you go into presence of people like this, the environment is always very nice, very, very loving, very uplifting like this. Because that's, they don't see the difference between everybody and everything. There isn't my person, your person like this. All the people are just same. And then they don't see the difference between all of this. So all that, all of this activity they're doing is also just from pure love, because everything is interconnected. Everything is, they see the oneness behind it in this way. I feel oneness with some, with family or close friends or something. So the love manifests, but here they know directly the oneness. So how will that love not manifest? So it's not that they that someone like that will cultivate love, but the love will be natural because the boundaries are pushed aside. The boundaries are seen to be unreal like this. So this is the beauty of it in this way. There's a very nice story. This senior Guru Bhai Swami Padmapadananda, he's from South Africa. So at the time when Nelson Mandela got freed from house prison, everything, and later became president there, so he told me about this. He said that when his inauguration came, that from the special guests were invited, some of them were some of the guards that guarded him when he was in house arrest, like this, that he became close to them because of his wide vision like this. So what a nice thing like this. So this is how, when somebody has a broader vision, then they're not going to see the differences like this. So this is the nice thing. In many stories like this, Mahatma, somebody that caused some trouble, but they don't see it as somebody troubling them, because they maybe see that person's troubled, that they are troubled, but what is there to trouble them, right? There's no individual there that is to be troubled in this way. So this is the beauty of it. Now there is one thing we brought up in the second chapter. This is a very nice way of looking at our sadhana, of measuring where I'm at as I progress. Because the thing is, we can't just measure every day. You know, somebody measures blood pressure every day. Right? But if you are doing exercise regularly and you want to see how you're progressing, certain things you'll measure every week, every month, so forth. So every so often. So here, you know, study things like this and look back 6 months or something like this. You can, you know, look back a year. You can't just say a few days. So we said the measure that you can use, very beautiful measure, is FIR, which we had discussed, for the negative qualities that come up. Let's say I get upset. So how frequent it's happening is the F. Frequency then, maybe I got upset, you know, every other day, now once a week, like this. So the frequency. Then the second is the intensity, how intense it is. Before, you know, I would blow off my top. Now I just yell a little and that's it, let's say, for example. I'm giving this example, I never yell in this, but we have to give the example. Okay, so the intensity is less. Now I just, you know, so it comes up in this, but it boils a little, but I don't explode, whatever it is. So the intensity is less. And then the third is our recovery period. The recovery period is quicker also. So this is a very good measure we can have as we look into the things. Look back and say, okay, a year ago, how much more was I getting upset or caught up in things? How much more intense it was? How much did it take to recover? And usually if we're looking into these things, if we're maturing, then we'll see that they decrease. So then we know, okay, I'm in the right direction. So we say for the Mahatma, the time between what and so what is going to be minimal. Something happens, what? For us, so what, it'll take 2 hours later. We'll go through a big big turmoil like this. For Mahatma, it's going to be very, very short like this, because there isn't, for a little while, a few moments, maybe caught up something for some reason, some skada, but it'll go away very fast, because what is there? When they know the world is a show, what is there to be caught up in like this? So this is a nice thing also to see in this way. Now what happens then is the whole thing, the whole way the world I interact with the world is through my senses, indriyani. So I see, I hear things of this sort. So I see is one thing. This happens, there's nothing I can do. That's why here also started here with pashyan shrinvan, sees, hears. They occur. But then I make a whole big analysis out of it, out of my samskara. And actually I just see. The moment I see shows that I'm aware. It's a reflection of the fact that I'm aware. That's what it is. But then all my conditioning comes in and says, oh, this is wonderful. Or, oh no, why this? So many things I connect to it. And the thing is, the moment you see, okay, there's the appearance that the awareness is reflected there. But now what the mind does, it separates. The seeing is seeing, but it separates, I am this individual sitting here, and I am seeing something there. And then it builds up the whole idea of the world. But really speaking, that's something that I am building up afterwards. It's not something that is the direct experience. Direct experience is seeing. But then, because of habit, I create the subject and object. That's bhokta, like this, bhokta rutvam. I create that. Why? It's just, it's momentary. This moment, so it appeared seeing. Appeared, that's it. Appeared, it shows that I'm aware, shows I'm conscious. But then everything else I build and I add to it like this, out of my conditioning. And so my whole world is built out of that. But if somebody is just aware present, it's seeing. That's it. Actually, one time in Uttarakashi there, in the Swami Premananda's Yoga Vasishta class, exactly that example was brought up. I don't remember if he brought up or somebody else. There was some story that the Buddha, somebody came to the Buddha and asked him some question. And the Buddha at first, it wasn't a question so much that he was going to trouble himself answering, but then he saw the person's samskara, he saw the person's going to live for a very short time now, so he should help him answer his question. So he said, in seeing, there's only seeing. The question, I'm sorry, I don't remember, because it's something years back. But I remember this part, the Buddha said, in seeing, there's only seeing. And they said the person sat, contemplated on, and then saw the reality. So again, these stories are stories, but to illustrate something, whether it's something that happened or not, that doesn't matter to us. But exactly, in seeing, there's only seeing. Meaning, oh, you're aware. All the other stuff you add becomes now, your point of view, your thing. Yeah, as we interact worldly things, I'll do my dharma, I'll do my duty, and the seeing is helpful for that, is one of the tools, seeing and hearing, etc. But to give it the reality of I am separate from what I'm seeing, from the object, is my conclusion, and that's the erroneous conclusion we say, like this. Because you're aware, that's all that it shows. Subject-object is then built in your mind. That separation is built in the mind. So the one who sees, so here, this one sees, the jnani sees. They just see. Seeing, there is seeing. Shows that I'm aware. Doesn't, this whole thing. They see there's just an interplay between senses and sense objects. That's it. It's not something so much great, so much more. Doesn't give it substance then. We give it substance, right? So as samsaris, the samsari has substance abuse. That's why we have moha. Moha, substance, you have substance abuse, then you have moha, right? Mind is deluded. So we create the substance in our mind and then. So in any case, so this is what happens. So for them, when they see like this, hearing, says they hear, hears, sees it's only hearing, some sound, some noise. And again, there's no sound actually. Sound isn't something that's there, it's just there's some vibration that hits the eardrum, and the eardrum vibrates, and then sound is there. Sound appears like this. But then there's hearing, shows I'm aware. Now there is a hearer and a heard object. That again is my conclusion, which jumps right into place. But if you just listen close to the sound, there's just hearing. Where's the subject-object? Subject-object is I separated. Okay. So they don't see the difference between subject-object like this. So that's why in this verse it says, Pashyan sees, Shrinvan hears, Sprishan touches, Jighran smells. So all these things. Then also when they perform activities, right? Ashnan eats, Gacchan, Swapan sleeps, Shwasan. Shwasan breathes like this. So even when does activities, physical activities, understands I'm not doing it. It's the habits built up in this body will do it in a certain way. And in the mind and all this, so it's being done. But the thing is, when one see, when they see that the whole thing, the whole manifest world, it's manifest as one thing. That if you look at any level, you look at the body, it's like a wave in the physical universe. It's nothing different than a wave in the physical universe. You can't separate it. Energy level, also you can't separate it. Then mind, when we get to mind also, it's going to be a wave in the mental world. So everything, it's going to be part of a whole structure, and it functions along those laws, those rules and everything. It's not something you can separate. So the whole thing is functioning according to that. So I take as my ego that I'm doing something on my own separate in this way. I remember years back when George W. Bush became president, after a little while, there was a cartoon, either Time or Newsweek, and it showed that his vice president was sitting there in the driver's seat, right? And he's sitting in the passenger seat, and he's saying, "We're driving." He's so happy, "We're driving." Like this. Because it was known that Cheney was really the president behind the scenes, and he was like, that's how they say it was. So similarly, I say I am doing everything, right? Kartaham iti manyate. This is, they say this, that was an earlier verse that said that the one who doesn't see clearly says, I am doing. I am doing the body, the mind, the samskara, all this. But really, I am doing, it's the whole structure. It's like the wave saying, I'm doing in this way. So here then, same thing. They know they're not doing. They're not the doer. Because if I was the doer, the Atma, I, the conscious being, have to be somehow connected to the body-mind complex and everything. And there's no real connection. Like what Markandeya, you said you're studying now, the Drikdrisha Viveka, exactly to look into this. It looks into that very closely. That as Sakshi is the witnessing consciousness, I have nothing to do with this, the body-mind complex. Within the light of Sakshi, these things appear, come and go. So it seems that I'm doing it. Just because it seems doesn't mean that. Now, for the study part, a lot of things are put there as preliminary things to help with our study. So what is said there is the Atma is in close proximity to the mind, to the body. So it seems, so they can be confused like this. But it seems like it. Just because it seems like it, it's not like that. And actually, Adi Guru Shankara, he says that the moment something is seen in a certain way, meaning experienced in a certain way, means that's not how it is. Means it's an appearance. Because the moment you see something, it goes through some filter of the mind, the senses. It has to before, so it'll always be seen in a limited way, so that's not how it is. So anything seen, meaning through senses, through mind, that means it is not how the reality, because it's skewed. So that I'm doing, it seems that I'm the doer. As an individual, of course, the whole preparation, yes, karma, as long as I'm karta, which you'll go into soon, Shri Krishna as he moves forwards, then yes, there dharma is needed, karma yoga is needed, as long as I see myself as an individual, because that preparation is necessary to prepare the instrument to be able to look into this. But as long as I see on that, okay. But, very important but from the absolute perspective, no. Absolute perspective, I do nothing. I as Atma, I'm not doing anything. Not I as individual, I as Atma. I as individual, yes, so much is going on. But as Atma, as the conscious being, no, not doing. So this one, even though doing all these things, none of it I am doing, not whether it's the conscious things that are being done, the voluntary, involuntary, or mixed. That's why breathing is brought in, it's mixed. Voluntary, involuntary, mixed like this. All of those I'm not doing, it's the nature doing it, the whole thing in this way. So it depends which I identify as individual, okay, actions, as consciousness, no, not doing. So this one knows, not doing anything. So indriyani indriyariteshu vartante, the sense organs and senses are an interplay between them. That's all that it is. But then it seems that there is the experience, you experience all this happening. So vartante ididharayam sees this closely, that this is what's happening. That these things are just coming, going. Tattvavit, tattvavitu, this is the tattvavit, the one who knows the essence, is the one who sees it like this. So in this way. So of course, what happens is the sadhana, the Vedantic sadhana, like Tridrisha Viveka, these are things brought in to say, okay, in order to try to see it a little more clearly from that angle, here are some pointers, and helps with those pointers, in order to help us to see things from this angle, if you want, like that. So this is what the jnani is, akarta abhokta, akarta, not doing anything, seeing that the actions they're not really doing, it's nature doing everything, the gunas doing it, play of the gunas, and that they're not experiencing, also, not bhokta. They're really, I'm conscious, I'm aware, it seems that there's something limited that I'm caught up in like this. This is what it's pointing out like that. So now, of course, one will say, very good, that's the jnani. How do I start going that direction? How am I going to know this? So then, Shri Krishna then will talk about karma yoga in order to help to clarify this. Because again, Arjuna asks, well, which one do I want? Which is right for me? Should I renunciation or karma yoga? So when the question comes up, then the answer is karma yoga. Which is here because if there's a question, then meaning more purification needed. If there's no question, then one will renounce. They don't naturally, they're not. It happens naturally. One doesn't ask their parents, should I still play with my dolls or not? Should I still play with my cars or not? They'd leave them in the box. Yeah, Mom, you can give to Salvation Army. She'll ask, you left your favorite toys. Yeah, you can give to the Salvation Army. I don't need it. Like this. They're not going to ask like that. So let's see. Brahmanyadhaya karmani. Sangam tyaktva karoti yah lipyate na sakpapena padmapatramivambhasa. Dedicating the actions to the Lord, he who acts without attachment is not affected by papam, just as the lotus leaf is not wet by water. This lotus is brought up so much of the time, very beautiful analogy brought up so much in the texts, how it's untouched by things. And first it grows in the murky swamp, and then its beautiful flower comes up. And the leaves also, the beautiful thing about it, the leaves are up and out of the water too. The water lily, the leaves are floating on the water. But here the leaves themselves are outside of the water too. And the beautiful flower comes. And I've always heard about the water not, that there's a certain film on the outside of the leaf, that when the water comes onto it, it doesn't get wet. So years back when I was in Kottakkal in Kerala, and they had some lotuses there, I said, okay, I want to see. That was before the smartphones. So I had a camera, I took a small video from a regular digital camera, where I took water and I threw it onto the lotus leaf. And what happens is, it would just slow, come together like a small pearl, and if the lotus leaf, if it was cupped in a way that the water could be held there, it would become like a small pearl sitting on there. And if it was tilted, it would just flow off. So it doesn't get touched by the water. Interesting other thing with the lotus leaf, Adiguru Shankara gives in Bhaja Govindam. He says that life is like that pearl of water on the lotus leaf. That any moment it might tilt and then gone like this. Right? So that also, from the other perspective, he brought up that pearl of water. But this isn't, here it's not that context. Here the context is how untouched, that untouched like this. So how like this? Brahmanyadhaya karmani, by the all actions being given, all actions are given, no action taken. Everything karmani offered, so offered of course here to Ishvara. So saying, okay, how do you do? First of all, when I see I'm karta, the karma yogi sees I'm karta, I'm doer, because there still I'm doer, so I have to do karma yoga. If I'm not a doer, there's no karma yoga to do because I'm not the doer anyway. But as long as I'm doer, okay. If I want to purify the mind, then what can I do? Well, then when I do actions, I offer everything to the gods. If I do as an offering, then what'll happen, my actions will be kind of different, right? Special guest is coming to your house. Somebody that you honor very much. How are you going to prepare? How are you going to do the things? You're not going to do them, you know, just like this. Imagine you have faith and you live in Ayodhya, and they were preparing for the temple being built. Just as an example, somebody who has Ram Bhakta like this, how they're going to prepare? How they're going to want to make the place nice and prepared in this? Because they're inaugurating the temple. Like that, they're going to do it in a certain way. So here, if I do, then how my actions will be if I'm doing it, my actions will be very different if I'm doing it for something higher than just for myself. So this is how the actions are done as an offering. This is important like this. So this is how it'll be. And of course, when it's an offering here, it's for Saguna Brahma, meaning for some Ishta Devata, some idea of the God. Because you can't offer to Brahman, the Absolute, because you are that. It's not something separate from you. So you can't really offer, but to some idea of it, some idea, then it's some idea, like Ishta Devata. There's the God I'm offering. Like this, I can do it. So if I do it as an offering. Now, when somebody does this, then their actions themselves are the puja. You don't have to have a separate... Somebody will say, I don't have time to do spiritual practice. I have devotion, but I don't have time. Well, here, there's your puja. What you do, you can do like that. When I used to be at Chivananda Center in New York, then at the time, there was a bank right on the corner. I have to walk just, you know, 200 meters down to the corner of the block, and there was the bank on the corner. So I used to go there and make the deposits every week, or every other day, whatever, when I was new there. So when I was there, then at the time, you know, I'm there at the center and we're working, we're spreading, where people do yoga. So everybody, you know, I didn't know too many people outside of the people in the classes, but, you know, people you meet here, they say, oh, please come, we have yoga open house, things like this. So when I used to go to the bank, this one teller there, she must have been Caribbean or something of the sort. So I would go and she'd usually be there when I make the deposit. She's always very cheerful and nice and everything. So I said one time, oh, you know, we have yoga open house there, please come. So she said, oh, this is my yoga. And you can work as a bank teller and make that your yoga too, right? So because the thing is, if you're doing it with the right attitude and offering, then everybody coming, you see there the God coming in front of you, all doing their thing, you serve them best as you can, it becomes yoga too. So in this way, the karma yoga, you don't need a place and time for. Like this inquiry, you don't need place and time, and karma yoga, you don't need place and time. Other practices, you need something. Something. So this is the nice thing. So in this way, you know, and somebody says, I have to go to my temple, you know, my deity. That's why here in all the Hindu temples, they have many, many deities, because they want everybody to come, because somebody is Ram Bhakta, but somebody is Shiva Bhakta, somebody is this. Some of the temples here, like the one in Sunnyvale here, it's so confusing, you don't know where the main deity is, where everything is around. Our neighbors here that aren't here anymore, they moved. So their guru doesn't like that they follow, doesn't like the temples here, only likes the Shiva Murugan temple nearby, that's in what's one of the towns close by here, because there's the main deity. Like the other one here, Livermore, the one in Livermore, Shiva Vishnu temple. So there are two main shrines. So it's confusing, he says. You have Vishnu, have Shiva, and have that be it. They're Shaivites too, so maybe he likes that. But I think if it was just Vishnu temple, he'd say the same. Good. Main deity would be there. So in this way, I want my deity in this. You know, you go, when you do pranam, you offer something, you say some prayers, what difference does it make what the form was like this? Yeah, it speaks to you more good, but it's a different one, you can do the same thing, no? You know, just like the form is slightly different, otherwise everything is the same, right? So in this way. So in this way, all the temples here, they all now have Sai Baba, because Sai Baba brings people popular, and they all have one main thing, and that's it. So in any case, so offering, so the offering there, but that bhava can be everywhere. So in this way, if somebody says, okay, I need some, I can't, if I can inquire into myself, have some idea, consciousness is within me, and that consciousness is everywhere, I'm the observer, so that's fine. I don't need then to look for the God like that. But as long as that's not there, then to start with, I need the God somewhere, so I take the God as third person outside of me, and then I can take some ideas of it so I can connect to, and then I offer to, so my actions can be an offering to that. So it's a very wonderful system, very wonderful. And so I prepare, and slowly, slowly, I see that God is behind everything, and I'm offering to that one. Then my actions are very different and less binding for me. And actually, when one is doing the actions like this, then actions that I'm doing as an offering, then will have to be actions that I'm not doing for myself, right? I'm going to enjoy a nice trip, nice vacation, I'm offering to the God, well, I'm also taking for myself. So the things that I'm doing, nishkama, whatever I'm doing like that, can be pure offering. Those that I'm doing that I'm also doing sakama karma, then there the result I have to start seeing as as Ishwara Prasad. That's why somebody gets a house, they do a puja first, then they live in the house, right? Somebody gets a new vehicle, they go to the temple in this way. Remember that it's the gods, and the God is given to me like this. So really, it's the gods, it's not mine. I'm just on lease for some time to me, right? You raise children, and then they go off to college, like Raji, or she's going to, what, in a month or so, go off to college. Yes, yours, but then it's the gods, and now the God will take care of you. In this way. So everything like this, whatever is sakama, then that one also, then this helps slowly, slowly shifting the vision. And that's not the end of the vision, but it's good preparation. Because then slowly I'm taking my attention away just from the objects and from the actions, but to something higher. So like this. So before, so the jnani was seeing that they're not doer. Here's how slowly I'm preparing. So brahmani adhaya karmani. Sangam chaktva karotiyaha, and doesn't hold on to the result, because the result isn't mine. That's again the seeing the result is Ishwara Prasad. Now the result, how long will it be there? I don't know. Just yesterday, went to a friend's birthday party. She's had some cancer for 4 years, and she's doing quite well, and everything. She's very active, everything. And the thing is, it's not that it's right now attacking her badly, but it's something that won't go away, just can be managed. So her husband, who I know for many, many years, a few decades, very nice people. So he was saying, you know, first he was thinking, okay, he wants to know how long they'll have to have time to spend together. And he said, come to the conclusion, you don't know, you can't know how long. Right? You can't know. So of course, there it's just more obvious. Yes, probably a few years, you know, within a few years, probably she won't be like this, probably, we don't know. But there it's because directly. But even two people are young and healthy and get married, do you know how long? Could be less time than there, than they'll have together, we don't know. So the thing is, we don't know, so the thing is, yes, Sangam Tyaktwa, yes, the God has put it here, it's the God, so the God gives it, right? There's some saying about the God giveth and taketh, I don't know the saying, but I've heard many times over the years, so giveth and taketh, whatever's there, it's the God, so it's Ishwara Prasad, and so it's Ishwaras, one takes. So when it takes, you know, something close, it'll still be hard for me, but I'll still remember, yes, it came from the God, it's the God, so it'll go. And then slowly I get used to it. Everything that's there comes from the God, goes to the God, it belongs to the God. Actually, that's the earlier thing. I see everything as God, everything here in the world, the God is giving and taking. So the God is behind everything, so everything works according to certain laws, according law of karma also. Everything, so it's really the whole structure of the world is Ishwara's doing, we'll say. But then if we go a little closer after that, okay, we see everything is the whole structure, his or hers, however you want to say it. That doesn't matter. Because no gender, you get to there, no, you know, what gender is just far as body. How can you go to the God, say gender there? Now, when you say further, now, but since all the laws of everything are coming from the God, this is one contribution Swami Dayananji really helps to clarify. It's not that Ishwara, it's the laws of Ishwara. Ishwara is manifest through the laws. The laws themselves are a manifestation of Ishwara, just as the waves are manifestation of the ocean. It's not that it's something separate, it's the nature of the ocean. So the nature of Ishwara is the laws that govern the world. So then I see the nature of everything. Everything that I'm seeing isn't just then just the manifestation law of Ishwara, but it's Ishwara himself. That's Ishwara. Because then, yes, it comes to me because of Ishwara's laws. It'll go because of Ishwara's laws. What attachment can I have to that thing? My attachment should be what's behind it, the Ishwara behind it. So Sangam Tyaktwa, less and less holding on to the external condition, manifestation, the more seeing what's behind it. Like this, then my attachment won't be there because I understand what's more important is what's further behind it in this way. So this is the beautiful thing here. Sangam Tyaktwa, earlier on, I try to, as an earlier stage, I say, okay, whatever, I'm trying to let things go and understand that, you know, offer to the God, whatever's there, I understand will be there, sometime it'll go, so I won't be attached to, and then to really see that what's really behind it is the important thing. Go further like this. Our teacher here would say more, go, keep looking to the cause. Wherever it is, you keep, when you stay with the effect, it's more on the shallow thing, and it'll come and go, and it'll also throw you around. When you look more towards the cause, you're looking deeper behind, and you're not as caught up in the things, and you gain a deeper understanding. So the cause is behind the cause, and then the manifestation of everything is manifestation of Ishwara then. So lipyate nasa papena, how can this person get, first of all, incur papa from what they're doing? They won't incur papa to begin with, but even so, when the negative things do come, how will they get caught up in it? Right? My Guru, when he couldn't walk, couldn't speak because of a stroke, he said, Master, Swami Shivananji took away his speech, took away his voice. That's it. That's how he said. He didn't say, oh, what's happening? And Swami Ram Surupanandaji, I know, when he had a stroke and his left arm was pretty paralyzed, left side, he could, you know, got a little better, but he never totally could use his left arm properly. He also said he had handshake with Lord Yama. Handshake Lord Yama and this, like this. So, and said it's the best lesson he had. You know, best lesson he had, that he's not the body like this. So in this way, vision is very different. So this one, oh, what papa did I do? What this? You know, why sit and worry about that? This is Ishvara Prasad. This is manifestation Ishvara. So then, how will I get touched by papa? I won't. There is no papa punya for me then, because everything is according to the universal laws. And Padma Patram Ivan Vasa, this, first of all, the dedication as an offering, and then as an understanding, this one is that film on the outside of the lotus. Becomes that film, everything will just flow by. How can it touch me like this? So this is what very nice being said here. Let's see some other important points maybe here that I didn't touch on. There is one nice point that was brought up in one of the commentaries, very nice. It said like this, that if you have a cup of salt water, you took seawater, you can't drink it because it's too salty. And said, now what happens is if you were to take it and you were to pour a few gallons of water into it, it can be a little easier to drink it, right? And you take that and you really mix it with so much more water, then the salt is going to be so little, it won't be a problem. So said here, what happens is there you diluted the salt. So in the same way, when the more I expand my vision further, the more the small things that I get so much caught up, they become small things. That what are they compared to? Larger vision. And we see in worldly things too. Like people that are sports people, somebody running for office, somebody working very hard on a project. Small issues that are there become nothing because they're focused on something much larger. Where if at that time, if all those things weren't there, it would be so much more of a problem. So all the issues of the individual, when I have a larger vision, what are they? Yeah. They become nothing, like something small. So we get too fixated, the whole thing of me, the individual, oh, so much problems. I have a larger vision, they become nothing, like this. It becomes just, what is it? Insignificant. So this is a very nice point brought here. If I see something, everything offered, then I'm looking at the larger thing. What are all these small little things? They become, you know, insignificant in that way. So that's a few points on these verses. Let's finish here for today.
Purnamudachyate Purnasya Purnamadaya Purnamevavashishyate Om Shanti Shanti Shanti.
Thank you so much.
Thank you so much.
You gave me the opportunity to bring these things to mind a little today, so I'm very happy you could be here. Very good. So then we'll meet next time. Good. Oh.